There are few things behind it. One thing nobody know when we alive, we don't know what happened to other people after they die. Then we believe so many things. We just listen to others and we just follow whatever going with us, or whatever soothing to us, or whatever we heard from our families or from our religion. That's what we do. But it is just like somebody is trying to describe the taste of the food that nobody have ever tasted, or nobody there to tell you what the taste is. Even though everybody died, nobody comes back and tells us, hey, this is what happened to me. But we can imagine. Therefore, we need to understand, really, we need to understand about our life. What do I have and what do I lose? Or what will this will disconnect with death? What's the death for me? There we can learn from others who already passed away. We cannot communicate with them anymore. We cannot share anything with them anymore. Because of that, we think that the same thing going to happen to me. After I die, I cannot do anything for people who's in the world. But what is the real story that is happening to everybody? So we are here for a very short time. But what do we have right now? I have desire. I have desire to exist. I have desire for tomorrow. Even we have desire for after the death, and we are planning for death. That's why we go and we take insurance and we have funeral plans and all of those things. There we have plans for our death body. But even afterward, some people have plans either to go to heaven or go to hell. Heaven and hell are two different ideas what people have. You think heaven is the place that you can have all the pleasure you want. Hell is the place that you suffer. Now, in the world, how do we know about pleasure and suffering? Through our life, with our this life, we know what is the nature of the suffering and what is the nature of the full of pleasure. Then, because of these two ideas, people create a fantasy of world with full of pleasure. Now, even on the earth, we are thinking about that kind of places. Oh, I would go to the bigger house and big neighborhood, and I would have whatever the pleasure what I want to have. So we are trying to create a heaven on the earth. That is our idea. That is our effort. So we are trying to fulfill that destiny or that effort after the death. But at the same time, we have a little bit worried about this hell idea. Because in our life, we have gone through some pain. Since we are talking about heaven, which place for full of the pleasure, then we have idea, the negative side of that, with a place full of hell. Now, because of those two mentality, people came up with those ideas from very past, and they commonly talk about heaven and hell. Then when religious ideas came, they said, everybody start to say, believe whatever I say, follow this path. Then if you follow this path, you go to heaven. If you don't follow this path, you go to hell. That is commonly all the religious are talking about, because that is a human quality. because that way you can direct human being towards some kind of disciplines. Because nobody want to go to hell. Therefore, everybody want to go to heaven, which you know. How do you know? Through your pleasure. And everybody have desire to have those pleasure. When do we go to hell or heaven? After we die. That's what you think. But if you really get close to this, you can understand where do we have create the hell and the heaven. You have create the hell and the heaven on this very life. Even you have experience. Who's giving you trouble? Who's punishing you? Others. But who's going through the pain? Me. Then I am living in the hell. Who's having pleasure? And where are the pleasure coming from? Outside. Who's enjoying the pleasure? It's me. Then I am in the heaven. When you see some people, in some time they are in heaven in their mind, but sometimes the same person get into hell in the same life. That's a real story in this life regarding hell and heaven. So that's why human mind have created this hell and heaven idea somewhere. So now when we come to the Buddhist teaching and the Buddhist philosophy, through meditation, even before the Buddha appeared, before the Buddha became the Buddha, there were people who could go to their past. Who could go to their past. From not beyond the childhood, beyond the mother's womb, for the previous lives. Then there were some people who can really go by the memory with their many, many lifetimes before. Many, many previous lifetimes. With that experience, this even before the Buddhist teachings for Buddha, the Hindus have idea that you have many, many lifetimes. Then because they could go to very past lifetimes and they saw that they have been born as sometimes animals or as sometimes human beings or as sometimes some other living being, that they cannot come up with the name. So therefore they were talking about this, some kind of a same living being going to one form to another form. But what makes you to come to different form, they thought, the action what they have done is bringing them power to go to next life. They come up with a word for that, they call it karma. Karma means the action which has energy to recreate, which has energy to reproduce same or similar reaction. Just exactly just like Newton's third law. But that's about the physical world, but this about the mentality. Now whatever you do, that is familiar to you. Whatever the thoughts you have, that is familiar thought. You are okay with that thought because you are possible to have that thought. Now that's the situation. With that situation, they began to explain that people, living beings, going again and again. Now Buddha started to do investigation about this, and then he thought, why does people, living beings, come back again and again into the life? Because we have desire to exist. Since you have desire to exist, now I have desire for tomorrow. I have plans for tomorrow. I don't want to end right here. Even people have desire for next life. You don't want to end from this birth. Now think about this. If somebody says that I have no desire to be born after this life, those people say that. But really, can you do that? You cannot. Reason is, already you have something you have collected. You are carrying that collected bag, which is good or bad, which is negative or positive. which can reproduce reaction, which can reproduce similar reaction. So until somebody either place this bag away or destroy this bag, that person doesn't have freedom. That is what the understand that Buddha had about this. Then he thought, I should practice to keep this bag away, to leave this bag away. It doesn't matter whether it is positive or negative. So he practiced, then he come to that understanding or that ability, he gained that ability. So that's why we call him as enlightened being. Enlightened beings mean they have managed to come to a state of mind which doesn't have desire to exist. So that means they are not carrying that bag anymore. They have no desire to live or to exist or to do something, they just live the life happily. So that is state we call enlightened being. So anyway, when I go back to your question, it's about rebirth and reincarnation. So what is happening? We right now, I have myself which has energy to reproduce. Then I keep reproduce myself. If you come back to this very life, you can see your picture is not similar to last year. What has happened to you? Even physically, your body is keeping reproducing yourself all the time. Then you are moving. You are not the different person, but you are not exactly the same person. By using your physical body, even changing. Like 10 years ago, your picture is totally different. If you take those two pictures, somebody can say, maybe two people, yeah, this is you, but it's not exactly like you right now. What that happened, you have merged from one thing to another thing. That is what happened to your physical body. Now what happened to your mind? Your mind also subject to the same thing. But what effect your body to change? Your body change due to the physical laws. What are the physical laws? Impermanent. Then each body has own pattern to change. Then we are moving. Like a baby is as the kind of physical, with the physical law, it's a growing up, then again changing. But change is there. You see that change differently. Only the change is there. So, what are the laws for the mental laws? What happened to your mind? Each action helps you to think differently. Then you are moving, you are merging. How do you merge? You merge with some qualities. The Buddha had a strong discovery about it. And he just wanted to observe really what's changed in the human mind. Then he saw main six components there. Those major six components are changing the way of thinking. Greed, anger, delusion. The other hand, generosity, compassion, and wisdom. Those are the six major components help to change the way of thinking. If those are merging, changing, then all the action influenced by those components. So our action influenced by one of that. We are merging. Now, what is subject to rebirth? It is your mind, not your body. That's come up with the people who could go back to their past, who could go back to their past, because when you compare the last life, those people who had those memory, now what do they have right now? Even though they claim themselves as in their past life, it is not a similar body. They dropped that body. Then now they have a different body right now. Different form. So, but not even same person. Because you are with different capacity. Human beings with one particular capacity, but if you go with another animal being, they have a different capacity of their mind. They don't have exactly the same capacity as human being. Even as in the human world, human beings have different capacity, different mind capacity. I don't want to say brain capacity. Like some people understand things very fast, some people don't understand that fast. Some people can think critically, some people cannot think critically. Some people are very sensitive, and some people respond to things differently than some other people. So then even in the human capacity, then we are not exactly equal. We changed. What made those changes? Why are we different? Why are we unique? That's because of the action, that's because of the thinking, what we had in the past. Otherwise, those changes cannot happen in these 30, 40 years. If you go back to a kindergarten, you see the different kids there. But every and each person has individual self. They are individual. They have individual qualities. But this is what something happened with the rebirth. When you are having the next birth, you always look somewhere that you are really familiar with. Somewhere you are close. So, most of the time, even according to teaching, like if you go back to some Buddha has shared his previous lives, and actually he shared his previous lives because of some reason, some situations. In his history, he was sharing that 547 previous lives, and in each life he has gone through the same people. His mother in somewhere in his family, most of the time his mother, father is somewhere in the family. In all these past lives. And not only that, there are some other stories. Even you are coming back to the same people again and again, because that is where you are familiar with. Then when somebody dies in our family, that person always comes somewhere close to you. But we as a different person. Then we are hanging around with the same people again. That's why we practice and we have similar qualities. We are things like, and it is not coincident that you get close to somebody and you want to marry. Because you have some connection there. But only thing is, you cannot see what it is. There are some people whom maybe you don't want to live with, but still you are living with. Why? Some reason behind it. That's because of our habit. We have habit and we have some similar qualities that we respect, that we are very used to. Then we are maintaining those things again and again. That is the quality we call it samsara. Means we are returning back and doing similar actions again and again because we are familiar with it. Because of this familiarity, you are maintaining it. Even before Buddha, people start to describe this kind of thing after the meditation, or with the ability of that they cultivated through the meditation. And that's a real story. Buddha, but he made up and he came up with the idea, okay, how one can stop this? If you really see this as something that you are going in the same circle again and again, and if somebody won't stop it, or if somebody won't understand, that's fine. But in case if somebody won't stop, why? There are a few reasons. In Buddhist teachings, there are seven categories that describe the suffering or pain. The first category is a birth is suffering. I was struggling years and years to understand why does Buddha says birth is a suffering. And then even some teachers, they describe, because you know that time of the birth is giving, it's a very painful. That's what he's talking about, which I was really disagree with. Reason, you don't know that as suffering. I mean, I don't remember anything. And nobody knows that as suffering. But other six categories, yes, it's visible and it can understand. But recently, I was talking to one of my friend who's pregnant right now. Then she was talking about her pregnancy and about the child and understanding what she has about it. Then all of a sudden I began to think about a living being growing in a womb. What is the environment? It's a water bag. And what is the situation in the water bag? You are all waste product also in that water bag. And you are living in that environment at least consciously 4 months. Living being is there, response to everything. Now these days, study says that even you can start to teach your child before they have their birth, which means you are really teaching qualities. In a Buddhist philosophy, when a mother becomes pregnant, when a woman becomes pregnant, that woman is having really different life, very spiritual life. Reason, the woman thinks that, or Buddhist philosophy thinks that, makes you to think the child can understand everything what's going on in your mind. Then you are teaching whatever the quality you practice. Now at the time when a country need war heroes, then mothers were influenced to read the books about heroes. Because when you are thinking about heroes and qualities of the heroes, what happened? You are implanting those thoughts and those qualities into the child that growing in your body. But in Buddhist philosophy, that was some Hindu theory. In Buddhist philosophy, what they do, they were talking about compassion, some qualities that you really want your child to grow, that you are practicing and you are talking and you are thinking. Then education process already has started. Even at even Buddha's time and afterward, it was a common practice. Some pregnant mothers and come to the temple, then they take precepts. And then the mother asks again the priest, can you give me precept again for my child? Then I'm taking a second time and I'm going with this refuge and taking the refuge and following the precepts again, I'm taking the second time for my child. So what happened there? Then you are really making a kind of communication system with your child. So that means even they thought, they understood that this child can understand. Can you imagine that all of us were in mother's womb at some time, and then but we lived with all this waste product in the water bag without knowing where we are. Maybe you know that you are safe, but who's comfortable to living around the waste product? Will you do that again? No. If somebody asks you to live with your own waste product and at least 4 months by knowing, would you do it? Would you do it at least one day? Isn't that a suffering? So it took me years and years to understand it. So anyway, when you go back to some other categories, of course we know that death is a suffering. We don't want to live. But death is suffering to who mostly? death is happening to others mostly. Because the one who's dying does not have the experience after death because that person is moving. It's only one moment of the difference that in between death and the birth, just like your two breath. So therefore, the Buddhist philosophy always encourage you to celebrate the death, not the cry at the death. Because this person is moving to another place. That's also an interesting thing. If you believe this rebirth concept, when you leave one place and then you reborn somewhere, some people here suffering, crying, and they are very sad because of somebody's death. But on another side, some people are celebrating, enjoying for somebody else's birth. It's the same person. After a few months, that person gets birth. And at one place, some people are enjoying, they're celebrating somebody's birth. At one place, some people are suffering. So therefore, it's encouraged to think that you are not end here, but you do some perform some good action because you don't know what is this person's karmic energy is taking. Then you are helping that person to move to the better place. Supportively, what you do, you are using that opportunity to change your life. Yesterday, here we had a surprise lunch with the family. If you talk to about that family, they had one family member died in very young age, about 32 or 34, and he got heart attack and he died. Before, the environment was very different. They had parties every Fridays, a lot of drinking parties, and all the time they were really driven by those things and running here and there, was thinking about the pressure, everybody, friends and the family, that was the environment there. But this young boy passed away. It was eye-opening for everybody in the family. Eye-opening mean by using this death. Now, because of this death situation, they connect to the Buddhist philosophy and Buddhist services, since they call them as a Buddhist. So they had the funeral service. Now at the funeral service, it's monk's job to help others to understand about the death and help others to understand of how to use this death to cultivate your inner self. That was a major point of the death for the Buddhist. Because you are using this opportunity, because that's opportunity you will never ever have it. This is a good lesson, because you are learning lesson here, there, and here somebody who lived with you has died. This is now a common story for you. You can die anytime too. Now you have a choice. What do I do until I die? Would I die as a person who's appreciate the life, or would I die as a person who would complain and who's unsatisfied by the death? So then you have a choice. But the other thing, you don't know when that's going to be happened. Then you have no time to waste. That can happen tomorrow, that can happen next week. It doesn't matter how strong we are and how healthy we are, that can come to us anytime. That's a real story with us. It can happen anyway. So because we are living in such a fragile world, and anytime any accident can happen, anytime any other planet can hit to this one and destroy it, anything can happen. So we don't know. But then what is a good time? This is the good moment and we should not waste. So monks are encouraged to do that kind of job on the funeral, which means help others to cultivate the wisdom. So what happened now, we are seeing in over the month, now in not even 1 year, they have changed a lot. Their family style has been changed, even not with only in the family, even friends. So for me, now I see that one death has changed so many people's life. So how did they change their life? Because of using that person's death. So that person also deserves for merits or positive energy for the life, for the changes, what happened to other people, because they learn by using that person's death. Then Buddhists believe that you can share that positive energy with the dead person. That is how you are doing. That is what you are doing. So, but another side of that your question is comes with now some people says, well, your dead person is appear, and then a whole lot of people encourage you to go and talk to somebody and talk to your dead or departed family member, and then they come from the heaven. There are some TV shows and some places like that. So my personal idea is, do not engage with it. It is somebody else's creation, because this mind is very fascinated mind. It is fascinated mind can create so many things. Secondly, yes, there are some places that living beings can come back and talk to you, but they are not really happy living beings. Even though they are your family member, since they can come back, they are not really happy living beings. But only thing what you can do some good actions for them and share with them, so that to help them to move. Whenever you begin to contact with them, then you make them to attach to you, and then you are not doing really good thing, because you don't let them go. Because in another word, they are kind of stuck. That's why they are having hard time to move. So, but since we are curious, because we are connected, without knowing, we just follow that kind of thing. But if that place is right, or if that person is right, and who's doing that, that person cannot call everybody, because everybody is not same. Everybody cannot come like that. Some people who really have good life here, happy life here, and positive life here, they are not coming back like that, because they are moving out, because they have enough strength, enough energy to born at somewhere where they want to be born. It is just like your kids or your family today. When they move out, then they always look better place to them to live. They are moving to better neighborhood. Think about you. You are not living with your parents anymore, because you found your best place to move. It is for you, your best place. That is what happened to them. Even when they live here, they find the best place that they can move. So only people coming back who doesn't have enough energy to move out. So, and in this case, we think you can do something for them, you can share with them. So that way you can support them. It is just like maybe you move out, but sometimes even your parents can send you something, share something, with some wealth or something. It's still that would support you, but still you are in a different place. So that is what you can do. Do some good action for them and send it to them. Try to not to hang on. Try to not to hold them. Let them go. Recognize they died. And use it by understanding, well, this can happen to me anytime, then I should prepare for that. That way you can die happily. So I think I covered the area for the question, but if I didn't cover anything, please. And the other thing is, actually, no matter how much you love some people, no matter how much you care some other people, people live wherever they deserve to live. They be born in wherever they deserve to be born. So it doesn't matter how much you worry, it doesn't matter how much you like, it is not in your control. But there's something you can control. It's about you. How can you control yourself? It comes from your action. Then be responsible of your action. Do not waste your time. So that way you can handle, you can control about yourself.